The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Familiar words, and each year the season comes round, I try to look at those familiar verses and think which parts of it pop, either in my mind and heart or in our world today. Perhaps which ones will speak to you from this familiar story. The three words that really jumped out at me this year were that the shepherds talked about this child. When they said what they knew about this child, all were amazed. If you've ever talked to a mother or a grandmother or grandparent or proud uncle about a newborn, you better give them some time if you ask the question, tell me about the child, because they will. We had cell phones out here earlier, and we were looking at the child of a grandson born in Peru, I think it was, in South America. Every parent, grandparent, is happy to talk about the height and the weight and the time of birth and the hair color and how much hair there is, if there is any hair at all, the eyes, the fingers, the toes. Infants are precious, aren't they? Vulnerable, little, miraculous. About this child, Jesus, the angels had much to say. And the shepherds made haste to go see who he was, why he was so important. Our Christmas songs that we treasure and love are loaded with information about this child. Consider some of the words that we know from our Christmas songs, and I want to think with you about some of those a little bit later in my message. But I want to start with a Christmas song that you may or may not know. It was written in the 1990s. I like it because it juxtaposes this infant Jesus in Mary's arms with the Jesus that we know through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who does great deeds as an adult. The song says, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new, and the child you delivered will soon deliver you? About this child. Who was he? What would he become? Why is he so important for the world and for us? I've always been a Mark Twain fan. I don't know which of Mark Twain's books are my favorite. I really like them all. In fact, Mark Twain was raised a Presbyterian. It lasted a good 6-7 decades of his life. Didn't last him all the way to the end, but that's not the point. He was a great Presbyterian growing up along the Mississippi. He has a lot of funny things and a lot of quick wit that he observed about the world. But I just came across a quote of his I had never before heard. The two most important days of your life, he said, are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. Now, in the Western world, we say the day Jesus was born was December 25th. Can we agree on that? That's why we're here tonight, right? If not, I mean, you're nice people, but really. If you're like me, you didn't get it all done this year. I mean, I still have cards to mail. We ran short of cards, you know. There are gifts to me. All those people I'm related to out of state, they're getting nothing from me right now. It didn't happen. There's still cookies that we promised to bake, and they just didn't get baked. And then it dawned on me. Christmas is only on December 25th in the Western world. In the Eastern Hemisphere, Christmas doesn't happen until January 7th. So I'm just going to tell all of those out-of-state relatives, I'm celebrating Orthodox Christmas this year for you. The presents will be there. It's not about the date of Christmas, is it? December 25th, could have been December 21st. Might as well be January 7th. In fact, why not a July Christmas? That's what Jimmy Buffett really would like to see with his Christmas album, if you've ever heard that one. We'd have to change a few of the carols in the book. We'd have to change snow to sunshine and probably pine trees to palm trees and sleigh rides to slippy slides. I'm proud of that line. But it's not really the when of Christmas that matters most. It's the who of Christmas. Tell me about this child. It's the what for of Christmas. What would his life be about? And why does he matter so much that shepherds run and we still gather and wise men came? He was born for a purpose, this Jesus. He was born with a calling. And he was given God's Spirit to do God's mission in the world. He knew who he was as a child of God, and he knew what his work was. It's the question all of us strive to ask and answer, isn't it? Who am I and why am I here? Apparently that question's getting asked a lot in the Premier Soccer League in England these days. The Premier Soccer League is the NFL of English soccer. And teams have found a lot of success bringing on volunteer chaplains. And at first the players said, who are you and why are you here? And they called chaplains over there Revs, or Vic, because vicar is sort of the Episcopalian word. What's your purpose, Rev? What are you doing here, Vic? Who hired you? I'm not hired, I'm volunteered. Who's let you in? The Soccer League volunteer chaplain's role is one that's not glamorous, it's not high profile. And one of the chaplains' name is Angie King, and she works with a women's team out of the Reading Club. And she says she learned the way to get to know the players is to go 45 minutes early and just hang out in the training room. So as they're getting their ankles wrapped and they're getting their muscle treatments and so forth and getting dressed and ready and stretched for the game, she can just listen. And she says, you know, in time, those women came to know me as someone who was trustworthy and someone who was supportive and someone who could be a friend to them so that they could tell me about their family troubles or their concerns or their anxieties. It was just a shoulder to cry on and an ear to bend. One of the players says the Revs and the Vics have become critical to our success because that chaplain is the one person in this relentless, ruthless, competitive environment. Does that just sound like English soccer, or does that sound like where you live? That chaplain is the one person in this ruthless, relentless, competitive environment that is not concerned with how many goals I'm scoring or how well I'm playing. They just care about me and want to support me. Andy Barrelton's a chaplain for the Southampton team, and he says, these players are so vulnerable simply because they spend all of their time pretending they're not vulnerable. And I tell them, around me, you don't have to pretend. You can just be yourself. I'm here to support you. Emmanuel means God, not away from us, but right here with us. In flesh and blood, in humble, simple, mysterious ways. Our faith is an incarnational faith that the love of the universe takes on a face and dwells right here. I've noticed a lot of folks talking more and more about 23andMe. I think I've even seen some advertisements on the television. 23andMe is a way that you can, for a price, take a saliva swab and stick it in a test tube and send it off, and then in a few weeks the results come back and it tells you all about yourself, like which part of the world your ancestors came from or which diseases you might be prone to. And I don't doubt that that will be at the cusp of the cutting edge of science as it develops. We don't have a 23andMe. We don't have a DNA study about Jesus. What we have is an angelic proclamation that this child is Messiah, that is God's Christ, God's sent one. This child is the Savior. In fact, that's what the name Jesus means. He saves. This child is Lord, which is kind of funny because he's a humble, lowly infant, and yet Lord is a person of great authority, a ruler of power. Angels pay tribute to this child with those three titles. They tell us really in just as soon as he's born, all about this child. And it's those words that the shepherds shared that so amazed Mary, Joseph, and others who heard it. Angels we have heard on high. That's a great Christmas carol. It says of Jesus that he was born that we no more may die. Tell me about this child. This child was born that we no more may die. He was born to give us second birth, the hymn says, born to raise us from the earth, born for a purpose, born with a calling, born with an impact, not just long ago, but today, and not just far away, but here and with us. I love the hymn, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. In fact, I think we're going to sing that one next. He has opened heaven's door, that hymn says about this child, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born to save. Another favorite hymn, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, that proclaims that Jesus provides rest to weary souls like ours whose forms are bending low beneath life's crushing load. Have you ever felt that way? He is heaven's all-gracious King who shall bring peace over the earth. This child's life will have large implications and ramifications for the world because this child is Savior, Lord, and Christ. That's what the angels declared about him. That's the who and the what for and why it matters. The why of Jesus' birth, it seems to me, and the purpose of Jesus coming from heaven to earth cannot be contained in Bethlehem long ago or held in a manger, but ultimately spreads its wings and flings its good news wide across the earth. Every time we receive in faith this child who is God's gift to us, this gift of love, this Savior and Lord, hearts are born anew. And that flesh and blood faith of ours, that incarnational faith of ours, takes a home. I heard about a girls' basketball team this year. It's one of the things I like about the end of the year. You know, the news outlets sort of review the year and think, where have we been? What's happened this year? Who have we lost? What was significant about the year that's just about passed? And one of the sports stories that happened this year missed most of our attention. A girls' team called the Carroll Academy, which is located in Huntington, Tennessee, had not won a game in 12 years. It's a little girls' basketball team, and they had lost 312 games in a row. That was a national record at the time. And, of course, they broke that streak, and that's why they made the news. They won 29-27, sorry, Josh McKimmy, over a Memphis team. But it was their time to finally get their way. Took two overtimes. The Carroll Academy is run by the Carroll County Juvenile Court. 100 troubled teenagers go there. It is a safety net for them, and they all know it's really their last chance to get a high school degree. Some of those kids are from poor homes. Some of them are from broken homes. All of them are in trouble, whether with the law or their parents or their schools. The majority of students are boys. You only have 100, and most of them are boys. You don't have many left to play girls' basketball. And of the girls who are there, almost none of them have ever played basketball. Now you know why the scores are so lopsided for 12 years. Something about their game the other month was different. Tied 22-22 at the end of regulation. Two buzzers later, they won, and the Lady Jaguars took the court with tears and hugs. And their coach, who's a school administrator, said, you should have seen it. They were bawling, and they were grabbing each other and holding each other and hugging each other. And I heard one girl say to another, this has got to be a sign for us that things are going to work out okay in our lives. We're going to be okay. The coach said, you know, the final score really doesn't matter for these girls. What matters is these girls have coaching and teammates, and these girls have discipline and people that rely on them. And regardless of our win-loss record, if I have 9 players on the team, I want to go 9-0. 9 wins, no losses. I don't want to lose one of those lives. I want to recapture and reclaim every one of them and get them on the right track. See, Emmanuel means God, not away from us, but right here with us, reaching out in our time and places of need, that heavenly word taking on flesh and bone and bringing peace to what's broken and troubled, bringing wholeness to what seems lost, foundness. Jesus said, as the Father sent the Son in the world, I send you into the world to share the love, to give life. Heard a story about Caden, who's a 3-year-old boy with some sensory processing trouble. And that disorder, among other things, means that every time his mother would take him for swim lessons, Caden would freak out. He would just have a meltdown. He'd go into hysterics. He was afraid of the water. He was afraid of being touched. He was afraid of that swim instructor who was coming to help him. Things were not good until Corey started to help. And as soon as Corey got involved with the swim lessons, everything changed. Caden's fears vanished. And Caden pretty soon was plunging into the water. If Corey got into the water first, Caden would follow, and pretty soon he'd swim happily, and, you know, then pretty soon he's showing off, holding his breath underwater, and all of that. All of the fears and all of the hysteria was gone. He was confident, and all that transformation happened just because of his new friend and swim coach, Corey. Well, you might have guessed this. Corey's a dog. A 1-year-old golden Labrador retriever mix in training to be a rescue dog. And the dog's trainer says, I believe every dog has a purpose, and we found Corey's purpose. Corey is like that lady tiger coach who's just in there trying to help others do their best. Like Jesus, jumping in with us as one of us, sent by God to lead us, to save us. Beloved children of God that we are, called to love God and one another and bear the light of Christ in the world as we are. To me, the incredible gift of Christmas is that God didn't stay away. Because it would have been easy, right, for God just to stay away and look down upon us, unmoved, judging our sin, aloofly looking down and seeing our brokenness and our pain and our need and our fears and our vulnerabilities. But instead, God acts and God comes and God enters. God jumps into the waters with us. And that relationship of trust transforms everything. What can we do but do like the shepherds and glorify God and share the good news and realize and learn about this child and all that this child has done for us and for our salvation. Mary, did you know that the blind will see and the dead will live again? The dumb will speak. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Did you know that this baby boy would one day lead the nations? Did you know the baby boy of yours is heaven's perfect lamb, and this child who's sleeping and that you're holding is the great I am? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.